Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means it's time for the John and Wayne Show. I'm ready to have a good time. Wayne, how are we doing today, my friend?
We're doing great. It's funny because now, like, your voice is extra crunchy. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm great. It is a John and Wayne Tuesday off-season edition. And we're streaming on both channels, so that's amazing. So shout out to everybody on the Rush channel and the Wayne Breezy NFL channel. Appreciate you guys.
Let's go. And if our volumes are offset, like my one's louder than the other, please let us know.
Now. You go turn it down.
Okay, I'll turn it down just a little bit. Because that's the thing. StreamYard resets their settings every single week. So like you could have the perfect streaming situation. They just hit reset every week, which is nice, but it's kind of what it is. So this show, which I'm super pumped about, we're going to be talking a lot of offensive line. The way I titled it is, will the 49ers finally invest in the offensive line, which is a little bit, I don't want to say bait and switch, but like as far as the draft goes, the 49ers have invested the second least draft capital in the offensive line since Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch has showed up. The only team that has invested less is the Denver Broncos. So again, I'm going to throw two crazy stats out there to you. The last team to draft an offensive tackle in the NFL was the Denver Broncos in 2019. They drafted Dalton Reisner. Mm-hmm. The second-to-last team is the 49ers when they drafted Colton McKivitz in 2020. Now, if you go to the center position, the 49ers are the last team in the NFL, all 32 teams, to draft a center. Marcus Martin, 2014, was the last time the 49ers drafted a center. That was before – that was several head coaches ago, several GMs ago. Things have changed dramatically. Now, you have Trent Williams, who you traded for. You've got Colton McKivitz locked up. But, Wayne, I'll turn this question over to you. Is it finally time for the 49ers to invest in the offensive line position at the end of the draft?
It's always time. But you're looking at the way the team is constructed and going off of our knowledge, I mean, the only blaring hole is the guard position. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about investing in the O-line, most teams, when you're investing, you're really talking about that first-round pick and trying to get one of those tackles for the next 10 years. Well, for the Niners, bro, they're picking 27. I can't wait till we get into some of these offensive tackles, because the tackle that we want isn't going to fall to 27.
No. They never do. They never do. Tackles and quarterbacks – and if you want to throw edge rushers in, they always get chased up the board. Always.
Yeah. And, I mean, luckily for the Niners, you know, if you're going the opposite end for the edge rushers, this draft is deep. But as far as offensive linemen, good, the ones that can come in day one, start, boom, 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 it's not deep, man. It's probably maybe 3, 4, 5 guys, tops. Some guys are going to be plug and play, even though they're going to be top 10 picks, but that doesn't mean they're going to work out. And yeah. So... yeah, man, I always feel like the Niners, draft-wise, they need to invest. So here's what I like the show title off the top, because I think they're going to invest in the offensive line, period. Now, how? Free agency, via trade. Those are the ways that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch work this offensive line to their best ability. They're either going to trade for a guy, or are they going to really look to sign a free agent that can come in here and fill the gaps for the offensive line. But that doesn't mean they won't spend a pick on an offensive lineman. It just won't be a guy we're thinking about.
Yeah. And, like, I'll say this, too. I remember we were here last year. We've been doing the show for a while. And, man, like, I was so big on Kelvin Banks. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, I think that he's on the short list.
Texas, yeah.
Dude didn't even make it out of the top 10. Like, and everybody's like, nah. Like, and he had a great rookie year. Played well. But, like... sometimes the board has to go your way. And when you're 49ers, you're drafted 27, the board has to go super, super, super your way. Right. And you can go back to 2 years ago where a team traded up and got Roger Rosengarten right in front of the 49ers. You talk about the Raiders last year drafting not one but two tackles back-to-back right before the 49ers pick. So it's not all like, you know, oh, the 49ers just don't care. But the context matters. However, it is what it is. You haven't drafted offensive tackle since 2015. I mean since 2020. You haven't drafted a center since 2014. And you brought up kind of the only major weakness. So let's go through the offensive line that the 49ers have returning right now. And this is an incomplete project because you still have free agency, still have the draft. But you have one glaring weakness. That's left guard. You do not have a starter there unless Connor Colby, you feel like, has grown enough to step in. How do you feel? What's your confidence level in Connor Colby in his sophomore campaign?
I feel like the kid needs reps. I'm all in on these Iowa offensive linemen. You know, I think Connor Colby played guard really well on the collegiate level and then was thrown into the fire on the NFL level, professional level, and it just didn't really pan out for him. So I think coming into camp, getting into football shape, his big man, big grown man body, all those types of things, lining up to Trent, seeing him in the field room, seeing what he's studied. I mean, I would think things may trend up for him. He was a seventh-round pick, but I had a third, fourth-round grade on him last year. And so he wasn't terrible. He just wasn't good at all.
He wasn't consistent. And, man, they yanked him twice.
They had to. They had to. I mean, and they had to. But, again, it's a seventh-round pick. It's a guy that they had to throw out there because of injury. And so yeah, I just feel like you got to see what you're going to get out of him. If he works, he works. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. You drafted him in the seventh round. I don't think people will be hooping or hollering over it. And if he hits, you're like, yeah, we got another gem. If he doesn't hit, he'd be like, eh, he was a seventh round pick. But, you know, there's some guys out of Iowa this year that I think could come in here and help out, you know. So it all comes down to, you know, if he can develop. And can Chris Forster develop these young guys? And I have this weird inkling that he's just not a developer. He's a good coach. I don't think every coach is good at development. Some coaches are developing. Some coaches are good at, you know, hyping your players up. Some coaches are just great teachers. They're all different philosophies. I think his philosophy is great in working with the offensive line and working with what he got, but that doesn't mean he's going to help develop some of these young guys, man.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Shout out to Logan. You know, again, context matters. Whenever I was starting the 49ers rush, I was going to call the show 49ers Context. That's what I wanted to call it because, like, I just love adding the nuance to these decision makers. It's very easy to just say, like, they don't care. But right here, Logan, didn't John Lynch say they were going to draft an offensive lineman last year, but then the Raiders went back-to-back? We talked about that. But then once back-to-back guys went, they turned to the room and they said, you know, look to Robert Saleh, like, do you have somebody that you like here? Because they were planning on going one of those two tackles. And he goes, yeah, I got a guy. And it was Upton Stout, who was the best draft pick, Wayne Breezy endorsed draft pick, of the entire year. And so, like, sometimes that's just the way it goes. Like, every single time we do, you know, draft stuff, there's always somebody that's like, oh, just draft Tom Brady. Just draft Brock Purdy. Just get Fred Warner. Just get George Kittle in the fit. Like, so many things have to fall the right way. Mm. And everybody credits the Patriots for drafting Tom Brady, and rightfully so. I mean, they did it when nobody else did. But sometimes things have to go your way. Tom Brady was not their number one quarterback. Was it their second, third, fourth, fifth quarterback on their board? It wasn't ours either. But yeah, Upton Stout, it was not the plan. Sometimes you got to zig whenever, you know, others are zagging. Sometimes it works out. And then other times you draft a kicker in the third round, but that's okay. I can't believe I said that. I'm very, very sorry. Let's go through the rest of the offensive line. So now here's my biggest issue, because four or five starters return this year. That's huge. That is huge. So the continuity is going to be there.
Bingo.
You could even bring back Spencer Burford, but that's very short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Williams is 38 years old and in the last year of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Brendel is 34 years old in the last year of his deal, and I do not think is a very good run game center. I think he's one of the worst run-blocking centers in the NFL. That's just my own personal opinion, a big reason why the run game so suffers. Dominique Pouniev locked up for 2 years. The longest tenured signed player moving forward is Colton McKivitz, who you have 3 seasons left on his deal. That was a wonderful deal. Absolutely A-plus deal. But you're going to have to replace Trent Williams at some point. You're going to have to replace Jake Brindle, hopefully sooner rather than later. Dominique Pooney, who's awesome, he's halfway through his rookie deal already. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not going after premier big-time talent in free agency or the draft, you have to refresh that pipeline of talent behind. Are you sold on Austin Pleasance? Like, are you comfortable with him going in and being the backup offensive tackle
no.
for 2026?
No, and no. No, no, no. But to be fair, he's probably going to be the first up at that swing tackle position as far as, you know, competition, and they'll probably draft a guy. Like, you get what I'm saying? Or sign a guy in free agency. I just feel like, I'm not saying that the Niners won't bring Spencer Burford back. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. They may just bring Spencer Burford back because he can be your swing tackle. He can play guard. It's the versatility that's key for me with him. Is he great? No. But is he serviceable and will have continuity? Yes. And I think that might be key with this particular type of offensive line because, John, putting too many young guys out there, bro, what are you going to have? Mistakes, brain farts, mess ups, that's all the same thing. So that means that's how bad it can get, you know, if you're not drafting a premier ready-to-go guy. When you're drafting a guy that's developing and still working on their craft, bro, you're going to get brain farts for probably 1 or 2 years. We saw it with Spencer Burford. I mean, people still mad about him in the Super Bowl because he didn't block Chris Jones. He forgot or didn't know what to do. And it was crazy because what's the name got injured? No longer with us. John Feliciano. And then, boom, you throw him into the fire, and he just one play. All it took was one play. So continuity matters, John. No one's talking about that. If you want a solidified offensive line, it's all about the C word, continuity. Because with continuity, you'll get communication. And when your offensive line can be continuous and they have communicative skills, they don't necessarily have to talk. But it starts with that center position, bro. And that's where passing game, Brindle's cool. He's decent.
He's decent. Yeah, very, very well said.
Run blocking, pass game, terrible. And Christian McCaffrey can't. Christian doesn't have the same burst as he had 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Even 3 years ago. He doesn't have that same burst. The play needs to be developed. Once he makes that one cut, beats that guy, it's good for him. But you saw it when Jordan James came in where he has such a quicker burst off the line of scrimmage. Even with Jake Brindle out there, we can't. No, Christian McCaffrey's the back. Get me a center that can make Christian McCaffrey live longer in the NFL.
Yeah, because there's going to be a role. That skill set with what he's able to do, you know, you always hear Shanahan talk about how he's the best player without the ball in his hands I've ever coached.
Right.
And that's true. Like, you see the third down conversions, you see the touchdowns, the red zone, the routes, the pass protection. Yeah, it's awesome. But at the end of the day, whenever you lose that burst a little bit, like, I don't think anybody's out there saying, well, nobody really credible out there is saying, like, all right, it's time to move on from Christian McCaffrey. But I think it's time to supplement Christian McCaffrey. Like, I don't think there should be in the cards of Christian McCaffrey leading the NFL in touches ever again. Like, that should never happen again. But
It'll probably happen again.
If he stays healthy, he'll be out there 2.8 yards per carry, still getting 300 touches.
Can we shift just a little bit to talk about that, though? Because the key word is touches, right? And so it wasn't carries, which beat him up the most, in my opinion. The touches are different. Targets, touches, right? And so I wouldn't mind if his targets go up. You know what? I take that back. We need a goddamn wide receiver. But because that means that it's a one-game offense. It's Christian McCaffrey or nothing. And so then the defenses are going to start cheating and, you know, playing Christian McCaffrey in the passing game. I wouldn't mind, though, if the touches still were up there, if he had the mismatch and he had the best opportunity. That's Brock's guy. I mean, that's Brock's guy. Like, Brock not throwing to any other running back other than Christian McCaffrey. I don't care what your name is. If you're not Christian McCaffrey, you're not getting the ball thrown. He'll throw the juice, but he's not throwing to Christian McCaffrey. He's not throwing to any other running back.
Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's 4 of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
Christian McCaffrey had 40 more targets than any player on the 49ers team. One of, I think it was like 5 or 6 players that had 100 plus catches. Like,
that's Craig. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. So anyway, we'll see what that is. Now, I love this from Big Papa. Shout out to him. He says, you know, a solid line is definitely investment in Purdy. That's how I feel. And so, like, I'm not here to say that the 49ers have a bad offensive line. It's just, man, you brought up the continuity and getting these young pups and all that stuff. You have 4 returning starters with multiple years of experience. Is it time to offset that with a quality left guard or to draft an offensive tackle that could play left guard? And then kick outside whenever Trent does decide to hang up the cleats, which will happen one day. Hopefully it's not this year, but it's the last year of his deal. You know, we'll see how that goes. But, like, would you be upset if they spent a first or second round pick on an offensive lineman to put at that guard spot? Or are you just, man, get experience, stay experienced. That's just what Shanahan's going to do.
It all depends on who that guy is. It all depends on who that guy is. And I'm going to be honest with you, in the first round, it's only one guy that can take over for Trent but be kicked in the guard in the first round. It's only one player. And if he doesn't fall, which he's not, but if he fell, then yeah, I would do it. I would do it right away because now I got a guy, first round pick that I'm investing in, that I'm going to invest in. It's a 5-year contract, and boom, he can play guard for the first year or two until Trent says, I'm going to walk off into the sunset. Trent's going to play until he's 40, 41 probably. I just got a funny feeling.
So, like, you think the 49ers extend him this offseason? I think. And again, he's going to get top of the market money. He was another all pro. Like,
highest PFF grade, another All-Pro, even if it was second team, doesn't matter. Trent Williams is only thing missing from his Hall of Fame career is a Super Bowl. Niners should pay Trent Williams. He was one of the highest blocking rated tackles and pass blocking and run. Actually, his run blocking grade was better than his pass blocking grade this past season. For those that like PFF stuff, that's crazy, right?
PFF's ruined offensive line conversation.
It has. It has. But the blocking grade is high, period. So at the end of the day, Trent Williams, he only gave up 4 sacks this year. All right. And he only had like 2-3 penalties, which is rare. You know, but I think Trent overcompensated a lot. He had to teach a young guy next to him. He played a lot better when it was Spencer Burford out there next to him. So that's continuity. Like that right there is what I mean. So I think Trent life will be extended, or not life, but Trent's term here in the Bay is going to get extended. I don't think Trent wants to go anywhere else. I think he knows this is where he belongs. He knows the perks he gets for playing for Kyle Shanahan. Like, he knows. And to relocate family, do all that type of stuff at this point in age in the career, I just don't see it happening. But I think the Niners are going to extend him, so expect an extension.
He's going to play it up, though. He's going to play it up, though. He's dramatic.
Well, he's only dramatic if the Niners wait they lollygagging asses times.
Don't
right?
let it get there. You don't remember he had to have $100 more than, who was it? It was the offensive tackle. It was the Packers, Bakhtiari.
If I'm John Lynch, you already did it. You already had this where Trent held out a camp and didn't show up. But no, absolutely not. Get Trent. Make sure his guarantees are straight. Get him locked and loaded, because he's the key cog to the offense. Period. Does it make sense to not have Trent here? Then we're really going to need to trade up and get an offensive lineman, because there's a lot of guys that.
There's a lot. Real quick, just a quick update.
He's old,
he is old, but I hope he plays forever. If he wants to play to 40, I'm cool with that.
I mean, Whitworth played till he was 40, got a Super Bowl, walked off into the sunset. I'm not saying Trent got to wait 2 years to get the Super Bowl. Shit, if we get a wide receiver and get this offense rolling and get the defense back on track.
Man.
I can't wait till we have the defensive episode, because it's going to be some questions. It's going to be some time. It's going to take some time to gel. It's a new philosophy.
I'm excited for non-vanilla. I hate being at the games and be like, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And like 1 to 2 times a game, I would get surprised. Like, oh, inverted Tampa 2 look from that. Ooh, that was nice.
Dad,
but it's like
inverted,
once every,
right?
Like once every 3 weeks, like I would get that feeling. But like, whenever I'm at the games, I'm sitting up high, because I always sit up high. And I'm just like, all right, this is what we're doing against that. Oh, I don't like this. But like, you can just kind of tell. You're not going to get that same thing. And, you know, it's going to be, which comes negatives. You're going to have a young defense with a new scheme. Going to be some more busted coverage. But we've had so many busted coverages the last 2 years. Even though we were running the most vanilla defense in the NFL, we still had busted coverages. So, why not give it a shot? We'll see. Real quick update. Tomorrow, we are going to be having our monthly Zoom hangout meeting. So it is tomorrow, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's already been posted on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. So go sign up for that. And Wayne, everybody needs to go subscribe to the Wayne Breezy over on the Patreon. This Woo. Dude, the hardest working man in show business. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Like, Wayne freaking... That dude putting down some work for the draft. He was at Senior Bowl. He's crushed the combine. We're about to go over his top 10 offensive tackles. You kind of see how that fits with the 49ers. But Wayne, talk a little bit about what you got going on over on the Patreon and what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, man. Patreon, man, you're going to get just exclusive, extensive breakdowns and coverages and stuff. Stuff that I got to do more homework on. Like, you know what I mean? Not saying you ain't gonna get it on YouTube, but Patreon is where I get to kind of like dive in. The camera's on, and so I don't gotta worry about, you know, bleeping out a word here or there. You know what I'm saying? Some film study for sure on some of these college prospects, but I love what I got going on, man. It's just really good. So subscribe to the Patreon, The Wayne Breezy. That's it. That's all you gotta do.
I love it. Now, I do have to say this. I'm taking 2 weeks off this offseason. Mm-hmm. One of those weeks off is next weekend. The father-in-law retired, and so we're going to celebrate him. We're doing a cruise, so I'm going to be getting my sunshine on. So no shows next week. On.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to have a good time, too. I'm going to destroy my diet. I already know it, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's only for a week.
Yeah, that's right. And then in July, it's my 20th anniversary, so I'm going to be gone for a week for that.
Years.
I know, man. I'm going to be getting out of parole soon. But anyway, let's get to what is important this year at this show. Let's talk Wayne Breezy's top 10 offensive tackles. He put this out, and I bookmarked this bad boy a long time ago.
Woo!
So here we go. And I know things are going to change. So this was from maybe about 10 days ago whenever you put this list out. So if there's changes, I apologize.
For sure.
But I'm just going to go – let's go 3 by 3.
Okay.
You got number one, Francis Maugia. I'm not worked on my pronunciation.
Maunagoa. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Spencer Fano and Caden Proctor, which Mel Kiper Jr. in his latest mock draft, take this for whatever you want, had the 49ers taking Caden Proctor at pick 27. So
really?
He did, which I thought was interesting. But walk us through your top three. I don't think the Niners really are going to have a shot at these guys unless they trade up, but – let's hear the Wayne Breezy breakdown of these draft studs.
So this is pre-NFL Combine 2, and these are my rankings pre-NFL Combine. So I want to put that out there because I believe that the Combine is going to rise or drop some of these players out of my top 10. So you'll get a revised version post-NFL Combine. But let's talk about Francis Maunagoa, tackle out of Miami. He's 6'6", 315 pounds. Dude, he did give up 6 sacks this past season, but this is what I like about him. He has elite movement and his ability to be versatile. This is the one player I said that if the Niners could draft, you can kick him into guard, and then he can take over at the tackle position for either one of the tackles, like however you need it. Heavy hands, explosive leg drive was what I have in my notes, which you can get on the Patreon or YouTube member. These notes are available for you. And then he's a rock solid anchor with natural knee bend. Now, when you have to look at where his weaknesses are, he does lunge with wide hands at times. He's sometimes slow to diagnose stunts and blitzes, which is what you're going to have to get used to in the NFL. But I just feel like in college, they don't do a lot of stunts and blitzes. So we'll see what happens. And his technique kind of wanes late, deep in reps. So, like, things that are workable, but I think he's the top tackle in this draft. I think he's the best overall, ready to go, plug and play. You're always going to have strengths and weaknesses of players. My comp for him is Penei Sewell, and I have him as a – I wish I was doing the draft stuff then so I would know what Sewell's weaknesses were coming out of college. Like, you know what I mean?
He didn't have a lot.
He did not
have a lot.
But I just wish, right. I mean, look, I feel like this is a player that, like we talked about earlier, you know, if you're looking to draft the successor of Trent, this would be a guy that you can have just waiting for an opportunity, but you won't be wasting the pick because he can play guard.
He can play, like, I put my play style comp just watching the film was Larry Allen Light. Like, this dude just freaking tosses dudes out the club.
This dude is he's strong. He is strong.
My biggest question, he's going kind of his average across all the mock drafts, whatever, is 14th overall. The Niners have a chance to get him.
Yeah.
Can he play left tackle? He's played exclusively on the right side.
Yeah.
The Combine's going to answer a lot of those questions. I think he can play left tackle, but he might be better staying on the right side. But anyway, take that for what you will.
Take it for what you will.
Let's go with your number two, Spencer Fano, out of Utah. And he's going number 10. He's actually the number one consensus guy, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I think versatility is what sells me on Francis. But listen, this is the tackle I want from Utah, right? So if I know they got another one. They got Caleb Lomu up here as well. Left tackle from Utah. The thing I like about Fano is he can play both sides. So now you got a guy that can be the swing. He's a natural swing, right? Left and right. 6'6", 304. Played 1,382 snaps. He only gave up a sack, 9 pressures. Elite movement. Ideal for wide zone. So he would be the target for the Niners, right? This would be a highlight this guy. This will be a Niners guy. As soon as you hear wide zone, you know that's a Niners guy. All right. Ideal for wide zone runs. Powerful torque, finishes blocks, quick processor versus stunts. So a guy that struggles against stunts would be my top guy, but this is a guy that I think would fit the Niners. And again, like I said, these guys are going to move up and down these lists. As far as his weaknesses, needs more lower body mass, hands drift, and forward lean, and occasional set timing lapses for this guy. Slow to react to counters at times.
I had that too. The redirect, the quick redirection, the quick which redirection. Means probably not going to be a kick into guard guy. Probably not going to be that. Could
he's
do just it.
He's a bookend.
He's a bookend, which that pays more. But for the 49ers needs, if you want him to start at left guard, that would be a little bit of a transition for him. Doesn't mean he can't do it. But yeah, that's Spitzer Fano. That's well said. Shout out to Lieutenant Simple Jack, Rob Lauder of Striking Gold Podcast. Everybody go check out his show. I just listened to some of it. He was going through kind of the roster needs before free agency and the combine. Very, very good episode. And so much stuff's going to change this week. You know, with the combine and everything that's going on, that's going to be fun. Look at this. Jack Knox, shout out to her, the super chat.
Hey.
Is KC Concepcion a for sure pick at 27 for me? No. I don't think I'm going to have, like, I like KC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he fits the biggest need that the Niners have right now because I think he is a Z wide receiver. We need an X. Like, he's awesome. But I do prefer wide receivers with better hands. His hand technique is about as bad as it gets. Me and Rob were texting about it. Like, that dude catches the ball like this.
He has seven drops. I was talking about his drops yesterday on my show. It's interesting because he has seven drops all last season. But occasionally, I mean, and it could be technique, but that can be fixed. So if you're, so the fact that you pointed that out is great because now he gets with a wide receiving coach on a professional level and they adjust his hand technique and those seven drops turn into maybe three or four, right?
Catcher's
it's all about the diamond. Yeah. I throw the diamonds at one time. That's what it is. Or Rock Nation, however you rock. But I just feel like, is he the sure pick at 27? For me, wide receiver, it's no either. Like, he's in my top five wide receivers, which you can get on my chart. But, dude, I like Omar Cooper Jr. better than him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, whenever I look at KC, the least advanced route tree of any draftable wide receiver, first, second, third, fourth round.
Correct.
Now, a lot of that's not his fault. I think he can run routes, and he has a lot to gain at the combine. With what he could do, he just never was asked to. Almost all of his work was screens, jailbreak screens,
it
hitch
was
routes.
That's how they used him, bro.
That's how they used him. So, like, is that against him?
No,
but, like, you ain't seen it. Like, so you're going to put him in the 49ers offense, which has the most advanced route tree, complicated wide receiver in the all 32 NFL teams, and he's not going to be able to play his natural position because Ricky Pearsall is already playing it. There's just too many variabilities there. Not saying I wouldn't mind if you added him because he is so damn talented. But I'm saying there's a bigger need, more fits, all those things there. But we'll see. He's going to answer a lot of questions at the combine. He puts together an amazing workout. Routes on air is what's important. Yeah, the 40-yard dash is big. But whenever it's routes on air and seeing him run the routes, that's what I want to see with KC. And I think he can gain a lot. Awesome question. Oh, look at this. We even got Johnny Dill.
110 routes. Johnny and I were talking about this at the Senior Bowl. And I was just like how? Why? No wonder. No wonder these receivers suck. Like, in the 49ers offense. Brandon Ayuk probably didn't even know all the routes, and he just made plays.
Do you remember Kyle being like, we didn't expect Brandon to play that much his rookie year, but it was COVID, and we had no choice.
We had
all the injuries. Yeah. We had to put the dude out there.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know, Johnny Dill, who's, man, we got the who's of 49ers
right?
content
That's what I'm
creators.
Saying. Like, I'm dang, jealous. He got some time on his hand to watch us.
Johnny Dill has went through and diagrams all of the 49ers or Shanahan scheme routes. There's 110.
It's a beautiful thing.
So coming from Ole Miss, Tennessee, Chris Brazel II is one of my favorite players in this draft. But huge learning curve. This is why Jordan Watkins, one of the many reasons why he couldn't get on the field. You're going from the least expansive route tree in college football. It's
there
literally
it
a high school, middle school offense.
There it is.
To the most advanced calculus out there with Shanahan. That's an issue.
As much as I like a lot of these receivers, I got to get the ones that are most pro-ready.
Denzel Boston. He fits your biggest need.
He's probably like my number one.
He's not as dynamic as a lot of the other guys.
Doesn't have to be.
He's 6'4", plug and play ready.
And he can get down the football field. He can run all the routes. He has a high-ass catch radius. I mean, he's the guy. Brock likes bigger targets anyway, as Juwan Jennings. And so this is a guy. He has an inch or two over Juwan Jennings. And his ability to get down the football field and create the separation is what I like to see in his route running. I love Denzel Boston. And I just feel like the Niners are they're not going to give him, because I like him. That's kind of I'm trying not to like these guys.
Yeah. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. And we'll see there. Shout out to Logan. He says, Johnny Dale is 101. I always say this. Johnny Dale Football Academy, if you haven't, go check it out. That's where your podcasters go to learn about football. I've coached for decade plus, head coach, whatever else. I learn every single time I watch that show. It's incredible. Go check it out. Man, we just got some awesome people in here. I'm very thankful just to be a small part of this. This is awesome. Big Toe, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Slot receivers aren't picked first, but your best receivers are pseudo slot JSN, Puka, Tanner, all those guys. Chris Brazel, he's a big boy, good hands, later picks. I don't put Chris Brazel in that group, but not saying you can't. But all those guys, even JSN went 22. Like, and he was a slot only guy.
That was a draft, wide receiver draft, though. That was a heavy draft for wide receivers.
Well said, Big Tone.
Great job.
Yeah, the slot-only guys or the gadget-only guys like Debo, they fall.
It's those second round, third round, if you can get those guys second round. That's why I feel like Concepcion would be a second round pick for the Niners. 58 sounds right if they went wide receiver there. So it's possible he might be the target, but not at 27, going back to Jack's comment.
Yeah, look at this. I love this. It ain't about us. We follow the quality. Man, you guys are the best. I'm very thankful to call these guys friends. All right, let's get back some OTs. Let's get to number three. This is who Mel Kiper had mock draft to the 49ers, the recent one. Caden Proctor out of Alabama. His overall big board consensus is 19th overall. Talk to me about the big man, and I mean big man.
He took 365 pounds of beef. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is good old
Trent Williams looks small.
Listen, Trent is 315. This is 365. Now, that's a big fella, man. Massive size. I mean, he only gave, you know what's funny? He gets beat off of spins and quickness. And I like him, but he's a project. And the biggest project is weight. Because he just doesn't have the prototypical size of a Kyle Shanahan offensive lineman. But here's what's intriguing about him. He's hella athletic, and his feet are quick. And I'm curious to see what this guy does at the NFL Combine as far as his 10-yard splits and things like that. He's my number three on my list as of right now, because this dude is just huge as far as when it comes to pass blocking. He's pretty much damn near, he's great. As far as anchoring, he can anchor. Now,
yeah.
He gets beat off of moves. I was watching a clip today. Who was it? Was it Mace? I forgot who the defense, who was the edge that beat? Oh, Zion Young.
Missouri.
Yep. Zion Young. And Zion Young didn't beat him off of the straight strength. He beat him off of the motor and the spin. I don't know if you got a chance to see the spin. It was the spin. And he didn't beat him. He just, it was a run play. And it just made him collapse. That's what happened. So I would like to see a better rep. Now, this dude is huge. He's powerful. I got shock force punch, nasty finisher in the run game, surprising agility. That's the key. This dude is agile, left to right. But he's just, I don't know, man. He's raw.
Not sure it's the best scheme fit.
I don't think it's the best scheme fit, but
he's going to go early. Like the question Titans, is, are you Vrabel?
Is
like
Kyle
going
to draft scheme? Here. Somebody said this to me yesterday, John, and I said to them, "Well, I'm always here for the unexpected." Okay, now hear me out. Now, I don't remember the draft off the top of my head, but you remember when we drafted Aaron Banks and it didn't make sense, right? Because it wasn't a scheme fit. It just wasn't a scheme fit. Now, I know at the time Kyle was here, we traded Trent Brown, got his big ass up out of here. This is that line. This is where he reminds me of. This is that. Is Kyle saying to himself, shoot, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have kept Trent Brown. They drafted Mike McGlinchey in 2018 after they got rid of Trent Brown, right? Maybe they go big on the offensive line to protect Brock Purdy. If you want somebody to protect Brock Purdy, give me this big 365-pound, 6'7", mammoth power anchor machine.
You put him in guard, too, right off the bat.
And that is what I forgot to say. Oh, my God. Did a whole daggone take on it. You can kick him off. You can keep him in the guard. My bad. That's the best part. But at 27,
I don't think he falls. And you look at the top three offensive tackles, like we're going off your top three, but we'll see. He has a lot to gain at the combine. Top three tackles go top 12. Period.
Oh, got you.
They always get
pushed. That's just how it works out. I got you.
Every team needs more tackles. It's just what it is. Yeah. So now we're into kind of the sweet spot. These are guys who I do think will be around. Next three, we got Caleb Lamu.
Let me find out, John B. He be reading my shit. Let me find out.
Yeah, I got your list right here.
This is crazy. I'm enamored right now, man. go ahead, man.
So number four, you got Caleb Lamu. Number five, Max Ian Aker. Is that how you say it? You're the pronunciation guy from
Texas. We're going to try this together, all right? So it's first of all, it's Chore right, at the end.
Chore.
So, yeah, so Ian Aker.
Ion Acher. There we go. Hooked on Phonics worked for me. It did not, but I wish it would. And number six, a little bit of a, like, I don't want to say stretch here, but unconventional, you got Caleb Tiernan.
Yeah.
So talk to us about Caleb Lamu. This is the Utah guy, 6'6", 308. His consensus is 26. Niners pick 27.
He's a tackle that will fit the San Francisco 49ers. Here's my things on him. He gave up 12 pressures, 2 sacks last year. He has crazy athleticism. I expect him to run very well in this combine. I expect him to move very well. That's what I really should say. But that 10-yard split is something to pay attention to. That burst, want to know about his quick burst off the offensive line. And you want to know how agile he is. What his three cone drill is going to kind of like look like. Long frame with a heavy punch. I got quick processor versus stunts. It's important that these offensive linemen recognize the stunt right off the bat and be able to fucking adapt to it, man.
His head's on a swivel. Just like, he doing this. I love it whenever I see the lineman feel inside, right? So he's playing, you know, let's say he's playing left tackle, right?
Yeah.
So he'll feel inside and look outside. Like, I love it whenever I see the awareness and the body posture and all that stuff. Caleb Lamu, he knows where everybody is. And so, smart football player that came up, gave up 0 sacks last year. That's always a positive. I like this kid, man. I would not be upset if the Niners took him at 27.
I wouldn't be upset. But it would intrigue me to know what the Niners are going to do with him, John, because you're not kicking him in to play guard. So you're literally drafting a prospect to take over if, right? Let me ask you this. Is upgrading the tackle room as a swing in year one, is that important for this team? Because you move on from Spencer Burford. And now it's Austin Pleasance. Remember I said you might have to get him some competition, but is that what the Niners need to do at 27? Or can they get a swing in round 3 or 4?
The question I would answer is we may never get a tackle we like again if we're picking late. Like,
okay.
How many years have tackles eluded us? If they like this guy,
go get
Trent,
him.
Last year of his deal, Colton McKivitz is 30. Like, that's not well along, but, like, yeah, you got him signed for 3 more years, but, like, man, you can use that. And I know he's not your ideal kick-inside guy, and I wrote in my draft write-up, not sure he can add any more weight. Like, I think he's maxed out his frame, which he's at 308 pounds. Yeah. And it's similar, a little smaller, lighter than the guards that you've had out there for sure. But, man, maybe you just kick him in and just say, hey, you're going to compete with Connor Colby at left guard. And if you don't win, that's okay. You're going to be our backup swing guy. And, hey, you're just going to take a year. You talked about the issues with consistencies and young pups and all that stuff. Man, when you can get a tackle.
Okay.
You get a tackle. At 27, if it means redshirt, I do not mind it. You haven't drafted a tackle in six seasons.
I think that my only issue with that, though, John, is he won't be an impact this year.
No, that is a potential
and so,
issue.
As a first round pick, I need that motherfucker on the football field. Like, I just need him on the football field. Now, do you kick McKivitz back to swing? Like, no, right?
No,
he would have to come in and beat him out, though. He would have to come in and beat him out. But now you're changing the continuity. There you go.
He ain't doing that.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the man, the all-name team, Max Ihonatior. Did I do better?
You had it right the first time. Ihonatior.
Acher.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. We're going to get it. Talk to us about the Arizona State kid, 6'5", 325. And a lot of people don't know about him. His average is 72, 72nd overall. I don't think that that's accurate. I agree much more with your rankings. This is tackles always get pushed up. I think this is a back end of the first, round two type tackle. Talk to me about the Arizona State kid.
I like what I saw from him Senior Bowl week. And so he started to stand out to me during that week because now he's going up against all of the edge rushers that I want. Like, right? And so as a right tackle, I think he'll play right tackle in the NFL. I think that's what he's going to be. What I love about him is his quick feet. We're talking about he's a project too, like, but what I love about him is his quick feet, natural hip fluidity. He's able to mirror the speed off the edge. So now you got a guy that's not going to get beat by the speed. Right? Yeah, like he can mirror it because his feet are quick. And that's important when you got some of these new young outside linebackers. A lot of teams playing 3-4. You got these speed guys coming off the edge. Like, you need a guy that can mirror the speed. You know what I'm saying? What else do I have in my notes on Ihonatior? And then he has real power at the point of attack, right? So as soon as the attack, I think his arm length is straight. And so he doesn't have short arms. So point of attack, John, boom, you're not going to knock him backwards like Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah, you know. Man, we've all seen that. I love his story. Born in Nigeria, came to the States when he was 13. Like, that's pretty awesome, man. I love getting behind stories like that. Let's go to Caleb. Caleb Tiernan, Northwestern. His overall consensus is pick 48 currently. Again, this is all pre-combine, so just understand that. Talk to me about Tiernan.
Yeah, man, another guy that'll play, I think, predominantly – this is a left tackle. That's what I got. I got him at 6'7", 325 as of right now. Says he gave up 3 sacks, 13 pressures, smooth kick slide, and violent hands. And it's important for these offensive linemen to be able to use their hands, and they need to be violent, right? And they don't need to be grabby. They don't need to be holdy. But this dude is not going to let you get off on him. And I think that's kind of like what I like the most about him. He has a huge frame. He has a firm anchor out there against the bull rush, because there's going to be some powerful guys he's going to have to go up against coming into the league, bro. But the thing I like about him the most, I think, is his IQ. And Niners like smart guys, right? They like smart guys. Brock likes smart guys. Kyle loves smart guys. So having a smart guy out there on the line, football IQ, he can sniff out the spins, the stunts, and the late blitzes. And so he'll be there on the play. He won't give up on a play. So Brock can trust him with his life. So that's why I have him as a top 10 guy.
You talked about intellect. You know, all Big Ten. He was offered by Ohio State, Michigan, chose to
turn
go to Northwestern.
All that, yeah, bum.
Yeah, right. And so, and then on top of that, like, he has multiple starts at left tackle. He has multiple starts at right tackle. He's mm-hmm. got the experience on both ends. Like, versatility, intelligence, you talk about it. Like, that is such a big deal for the Niners. That's why that's, like, one of those possible gold helmet type players, you know, that the 49ers have that just fits exactly what they need. That's Caleb Tiernan. And let's go a little bit faster through these last four. We got Isaiah World, Oregon. All name team, first off, that's a badass name for an offensive lineman. Talk to me about the Oregon kid, and didn't he just get injured?
He did just get injured. That's why he probably won't go high in the draft, but if you're looking for a tackle that you can stash and kind of like wait on, it'll be a guy like Isaiah World. The things that I love about him, he only gave up one sack, 18 pressures. His lateral agility for a 318-pound, 6'8", offensive lineman is amazing. Now, I don't
Oregon,
know if Kyle...
man, they got a type, don't they?
They got a type, bro. I don't know if Kyle covets these taller offensive linemen because Brock might not be able to see over these motherfuckers at some point, right? So Brock being 6'2", 6'1", whatever his height is, he won't be able to see over him. But, I mean, you get a guy that can come in and protect your quarterback on the left side. I think that's great. Heavy punch resets. He helps resets the rushers with his quick punch, heavy punch, and he's very smart versus stunts. So the injury is going to plague him. It's going to hurt his draft stock. But if the Niners don't go tackle early and they're looking for a guy.
We already said he's going to be waiting.
He's
like,
going to be waiting.
We already said. Yeah. Like, because you're not going to be an impact player. You're not going to play right away. This is a guy that if he falls, now here's my, not a problem, this is a positive. Isaiah World has the most experience of any tackle in this draft class. Over 3,200 plus snaps.
Yeah,
so
man.
Even though the torn ACL in the playoff game, that's going to make him sit out. And so, you know, he tore it in January,
yes.
9 months. You're talking October is whenever he's getting out there. If you already have Trent Williams, if you already have Colton McKivitz, it might not be too big of a deal to take this guy in the second round if he falls with that ACL. Now,
I think he might fall a little bit. I think he may fall. Listen, you got...
After Josh Simmons last year, man, I just don't know. That was like the end of career type injury. This is an ACL.
Right. He's coming back from this. Josh Simmons wasn't supposed to come back and start it in the NFL.
Dude started week one.
Week one. So you get what I'm saying? So what you're saying is he may go higher in the draft because of Josh. I got you. I don't know, man. My thing is this. If he's sitting there in round three and the Niners address two impact players in rounds one and two, Isaiah World would be a top 100 player.
Yes, I agree.
And if you're drafting Nick motherfucker, excuse me, if you're drafting...
Get him, Wade. Get him, Wade.
If you're drafting Nick Martin...
Yeah,
Look, I liked him coming out, but I didn't have him as a third round pick, bro. Felt like you could have got him Nobody undrafted.
Did. I like him too, but yeah, it was like, dude, this is a project dude that ain't played in a year. It's
dude had a whole
pick.
Year
now,
off due to injury, and
now Robert Saleh, the guy that got him, ain't here.
Well, maybe we can trade him to Robert Saleh's team off the IR. He's on the IR, right?
He'll reset, so when the new contract year starts, and they do the full contract, he'll either be NFI or not NFI. He'll be PUP or he'll be active. Mm-hmm. So those are the two options. He can be PUP, physically unable to perform, or active. So we'll find out about where that is. So, yeah, Nick Martin, yet to be determined, but that is a rough one.
He's still on the IR with the freaking concussion, bro. He's still in concussion protocol. We just not talking about
it. They don't have to. So once the season ends and you're no longer in it, you don't have to report
it.
He
was in concussion protocol when the season ended, though. So
yeah. Scary. Wish the best for the young man. He was awesome. We had him on the show. He was great.
But can I give you a defensive sleeper?
Yeah.
If you guys, if you want to replace Nick Martin for whatever reasons, maybe that was Robert Saleh. I don't know. Harold Perkins out of LSU coming off an injury.
You and Larry Kruger love that dude. He's awesome.
I like Harold Perkins, bro. I think he would be a sure fit weak side linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. I really do.
He's stud, man.
Yeah.
He's stud. At one, anybody that wears 7 for LSU, I automatically like.
I remember this conversation. That was a great story. That was a great story.
I love that stuff, man. So, all right, Seven's let's get work. Back. Okay. Yeah, it is. Let's get back to our old line. We got a couple more. Coming at number 8, you got Drew Shelton, Penn State. I feel like you always have a little affinity for Penn State players. Am I crazy on that?
I don't know why, but this is they used to beat up on Michigan. You know, defensively and offensively. No, I like Drew, 6'5". I'm not sure what list you have because mine might be a little bit different. So you said 8.
This is
no,
off
this
your
is right.
tweet from no, right. a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think this is right. I don't think I changed it because I kept it pre-combine. Anyway, 6'5", 305, one sack on the season. He is exceptional. Notice how I have a trend with lateral agility. I don't know if you noticed that, but that is what I've been scouting for the Niners offensive line because wide outside zone needs to work. Like it needs to work.
That first flat step freaking going to your right, open up flat, get out there and go. If you can't do that, you don't play in this scheme, period.
No, not in this scheme.
Unless you're Aaron Banks.
Nope. But look, his lateral agility is great when mirroring speed rushers. That's what I got off the edge. He's good against speed rushers. And here's the thing that I would like from Niners offensive linemen as they draft from the rest of their lives. They need to have a mean streak. Like, this dude has a nasty, mean streak as a finisher from a tackle position. So that's great. Quick first step quickness off the snap. You just talked about that in the run game. That's important. So, yeah, I think he'll be a pretty decent fit. Maybe third, fourth round for the Niners as a tackle. Remember, these are my top 10 pre-combine. That doesn't mean we're going to get them all first. These aren't all first-round guys.
No. Yeah. And I love that because, like, look, the tackles always go early. You talk about Drew Shelton. Like, that's somebody that could go in the second, third round. Right now, 122. He is the lowest consensus overall player that you have in your top 10. But here's my favorite thing about Drew Shelton. He's played games at left tackle, left guard, right guard, right tackle. Mm-hmm. All at Penn State.
All on the offensive line, baby. Too bad he didn't play center because he would be the pick.
I love that. Now, the one issue I have with your list, I'm just going to be very honest, Monroe Freeland is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You got him 9. Talk to me because this is a good conversation because I want the good and the bad. These are the conversations that happen in war rooms whenever there's disagreement. So you have Monroe Freeland 9, the tackle out of Georgia. I'm much higher on him. Talk to me about why you have him where you have him.
I have him 9 mainly because I don't think he's great in run blocking. That doesn't mean he can't improve in the run blocking.
At a 62 grade run blocking, not great from PFF.
So that, you know, that's why I have him 9. So he needs to get better at that. But guess what he has? Great lateral agility when mirroring speed. And he's a top tackle. And he might bump up as my number 3, and I push Proctor down a little bit. Ian Atcher might get pushed down a little bit. But I feel like Monroe from this combine, this is where he can boost his draft stock 100%. Let's just see how well he does in these drills. And if that can help, 3 cone would be important. 10-yard split would be important for him. But I think that was my issue with him. Still a top 10 tackle. And I think he'll go higher than maybe a couple of other guys out here. It all depends on fit.
Yeah. And I think he fits the scheme for the 49ers very, very well. I agree with you. I don't think power teams will even have him on their board.
No.
Like the gap schemes, the power, like I don't even think they'll.
Right. Which is why he'll fall, right?
Could. But for zone teams. Dude, the upside that I see in Monroe, that kick slide, that kick slide.
Yeah.
It's going to look good out there at the combine. Yeah. I'm just going to say.
I wouldn't be mad if the Niners took him at 27.
I would not at all.
Can he play guard?
Probably not.
Probably not. And that right there is why he won't be drafted at 27.
There you go. All right, last one, number 10, does not mean it's a bad player by any stretch. Austin Barber out of Florida, 6'6", 318. He's going 93rd overall, which the Niners have a lot of picks around that back end of the third round. That's the type of player that we're talking about here. What do you like from Austin Barber, offensive tackle out of Florida?
Another guy that I think will come in and fit the scheme perfectly. Same sentiments as some of the other guys that we talked about. I feel like he might end up going in the second round. I'm going to be honest. And, you know, the Niners would be at pick 58. If they went tackle and they went Austin Barber, I'd be like, hell yeah. This will be a piece that they can rock with, you know, for years to come. But overall, he's a top 10 tackle in this draft. I feel like Florida their guys aren't getting a lot of love this year from the draft. But, I think
they get
the athletes, man, and that's what you're going to get from a guy like Austin Barber.
And like my favorite thing about Barber, again, multiple starts left tackle. That's where he played predominantly.
Yeah.
But 490 snaps at right tackle. He's played both.
Swing better.
I love it, man. Man, this is awesome. I just I love learning because, like, you know, we watch a lot of tape, you and I, and we don't watch it together. We don't, you know, share our notes, but then we come together and it's like, ooh. And I just love learning. That's my thing. So selfishly, I'm very thankful for what you do for everybody, Wayne, because, man, I'm over here learning and getting all this stuff. Look at this, License to Kill, Been a Minute, hope all's good. Just can't wait for the season to start. We still got some time.
We got time.
But that's okay. We're going to dive in.
Look into Blake Miller out of Clemson.
I was shocked he wasn't on your top 10.
So that's the funny thing. Like, I took Barber off and put Blake Miller in.
Okay, but, well, let's do this. Tell us why.
I think I'm going to take Isaiah World off due to the injury and insert back in Barber.
You get a peek behind the scene.
Oh, now, shoot. That's right. My bad. We're doing this live.
I love this. Yeah. Well, the funny thing, and people don't know, like, every single time we end the show and we finish, like, okay, the stream ends and, you know, whatever, we pull each other back up on the thing and we're like, dude, that was a good show. Awesome. And then we just keep talking football. And I'm like, football, damn it, yeah. Why didn't we do this on the thing?
Oh, no, the live, right. So right tackle, Blake Miller, 6'6", 315, two sacks on the season, 14 pressures. You talked about the kick, man. He has an explosive kick. Like, that first kick is explosive. And that's what I like about him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably, like, my number one thing. Long, explosive first kick allows him to set up against speed rushers. Because what's happening in the NFL? Yeah, guys are strong, but guys are faster off the edge now. That's the dynamic change that we're seeing a lot of NFL. It's not a lot of Mykael Williams is in the NFL anymore. It's a bunch of Haason Reddicks and speed guys that are trying to come at you off the edge. So you got to have a tackle out there that can hold up. Hands carry a real pop pointed attack, and his lateral agility shows up. Foot speed mirrored to speed rushers. This is what I like about him. Like, yeah. So
some of the most experience again. You know, he fits that kind of idea of over 3,000 plus snaps. He's played right tackle, played left tackle. I think he might be a right tackle. Like,
he's a right tackle.
Might be a right tackle. Only.
He's a right.
But
that's what I have.
I've got him highlighted as another one of those kind of gold helmet type players. Like, this guy, like, might be one of those.
Got you. Was Colton McKivitz a gold helmet type player?
He was.
Oh.
He was. Remember, they said they were going to draft him in the third round and just let him be the immediate left tackle replacement for Joe Staley when he retired. Didn't work out. They drafted him in the fifth round with that Matt Breida pick they traded. Then they had to cut him. Then he came back, changed his approach, and now he is what he is. The Niners were right on him. It just took a couple years to get there. Back to that whole idea of, you know, continuity and getting these guys that are consistent. It's hard to do with rookies.
It is.
But, Blake Miller might be one of those. Man, we all learned today. I learned anyway.
I learned, too. This is my list.
You're going to learn today. it's what it is, man. Anyway, Wayne, you are the freaking man. I want to say thank you for what you're doing just for the community and just giving us so much to look forward to.
Thank you.
Again, reminder, we do have our Zoom hangout tomorrow, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Everybody go check out the Wayne Breezy on the Patreon, all that stuff. Wayne, take us out of here. I got the button queued up. I'm ready to go. I ain't going to miss it this time.
Oh, this is a promo. Listen, I'm just going to keep it a buck. Look, I know I'm cracking down on a lot of the lives that I've been doing, a lot of stuff going on personally, but I thank everybody out there for their support, their love, their patience,
love
everything.
You,
like, definitely do. But I've got a lot of VODs that's going to be released and uploaded. So check out the videos, man. Make sure you like them joints, man. Please. Because I'm putting time, work, and blood, sweat, and tears into these joints. And I want you, I know they're not the same as the live. You don't get the same kind of experience. I'm talking to myself. It's kind of hard to talk to yourself. People going to think I'm insane. But faithful, the combine is here. And this kind of, the draft started in Mobile, but the draft continues in Indianapolis. At the NFL Combine, you're going to watch your risers, you're going to watch your fallers, but stay locked in right here because we're going to give it to you daily. I can promise you that. Make sure you subscribe to both channels. Until next time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.